Well, yeah, the book was called 100 Years of an American Icon, and it was written 25 years ago. So Gibson's been around all that time, 125 years now. They're pretty well known as one of the major brands with Martin and Fender, influential American brands. But they are the only brand that has had, you know, industry standard models and trend-setting models in acoustic and electric guitars, as well as in mandolins and banjos. They've been dominant in all of those genres, whereas Martin only in acoustic flat-top guitars and Fender only in electric solid-body guitars and amplifiers, of course, for Fender. But Gibson has been a broader and arguably more influential company because of that through the years.
So we read headlines about the prospect of bankruptcy and a giant debt coming due this summer, not too many months away now. How would you, to a layperson, describe what you understand is happening?
Well, I started working for Gibson in 93, right before the anniversary year of 94. And they were, to the layperson, they would appear to have been in financial trouble at that time. This is sort of, you know, just a regular MO for Henry Juskowitz, the CEO. He's always been financially on the edge, and that's been his way of expanding the company and growing the company as fast as possible. And with a bit of overextension always being a part of Gibson's financial situation, I think it's a little bit more precarious now because the company has expanded into the consumer electronics field. And if it gets in trouble, the Gibson guitar or the Les Paul guitar is not big enough to save the company as it might have been in years past. So, you know, I have a lot of faith in Henry's ability to refinance Gibson. He's done it time and time again. And probably has never had anything in the A range of credit ratings. So I would not bet against him, but I think it's going to be a tougher task for him this time. Will they just fold up and go bankrupt? I don't think so. Will they be bought by some international conglomerate? I doubt that. I think there are investors and possibly some of the people who are holding the notes now who would be interested in running the company and continuing Gibson. So I don't think Gibson is in danger of just falling by the wayside.
Another background factor that seems really important is that, as I understand it, just overall sales of electric guitars are not what they used to be. And that may be explained in part by trends in music and the fact that there's lots of used instruments out there accumulating over the last many decades. So what would you say about that? Has that hurt Gibson?
I think this notion that electric guitar sales are down is based on a story that ran in the Washington Post, which is not very accurate. I don't have industry figures at hand. I think they were flat at about that time, but I don't think sales were falling. There were conclusions that were drawn that didn't follow from the facts that were presented, and a number of arguable assertions in that story. I can tell you in my business, people think of us as an acoustic store. We actually sell more electrics than we do acoustics and have every year. And sales of electrics have grown every year. And we're on track for that again this year. So I don't see any drop in sales of electric guitars, possibly in dollar volume due to cheaper and cheaper pricing. Electric guitars relative to the standard of living are cheaper now than they've ever been. And there are the imports, which used to be regarded as cheap junk. Many of them are pretty good quality and certainly good values for low pricing. So as more people are buying lower price guitars, then the total dollar amount for guitar sales may go down, but that doesn't mean the electric guitar is dying, or that overall interest in the electric guitar is waning.
Henry Jeskowitz certainly has an outsized reputation. He's got a huge ego. He's been a media figure, and he's come under a lot of criticism one way and the other. Any remarks on just the fate of a company being in the hands of one person and the decision-making process that's gone on over these decades? Because as a historian and a dealer and a fan of these instruments, I'm sure you have a sentimental attachment and want the best for it. And a lot of people have, and there's been this tug of war with singularity of Henry Jeskowitz. So what are your comments on that?
Well, Henry has done a great job of bringing Gibson back from almost, from near death in the mid-80s. And he took over in 1986. The company's grown continually since then. It's still, a major brand. I would say what I've always said is his vision for the growth of the company and his recognition of trends in musical instruments as well as in consumer electronics has always been correct, and it's his ability to implement that vision that where he's fallen short. Sometimes it's because of being overextended financially, and sometimes just because he doesn't want to properly fund these moves, the growth that he's envisioned. But usually the direction, almost always the direction, is correct. And he's done a lot of things that people think are mistakes. I don't think he's really hurt the brand through all this time. It's hard to say whether having one person run it is worse than having a revolving door at the top. I think it's difficult for companies, to transition once he's not the founder, but he would be like the founder of the modern Gibson. Mm-hmm. It would be like trying to fill Bill Gates' shoes at Microsoft and Steve Jobs at Apple, which they failed to do at Apple and had to bring Jobs back. So when a company is run by one person for a long time, it's hard to say whether it's going to be better or worse, whether moving him out or if he moves out.
Well, it does seem like one thing's pretty sure. He seems to have almost given up the notion that in the future he will be running the company. I mean, it's pretty likely that Henry will no longer be the CEO after whatever transition takes place. Is that how you understand it?
I would not bet against Henry.
Okay.
It would seem that he's in a position where he's going to have to give up control. As I said earlier, he's consistently found new financing all through every year or two. He has the ability to attract backers, and I think anybody else would you could say for sure they're going to be out. I would never bet against Henry in this situation.
Just finally, the heart and soul quality here, the passion you have that you see young players have, the everything from the brand of Earl Scruggs and the banjo, Bill Monroe and the mandolin, Mother Maybelle Carter and her guitar. These instruments are at the Country Music Hall of Fame. This brand wants to live as part of Americana. What's your feelings about where this could be 10, 20 years from now?
Oh, it's impossible to speculate because the major brands have had trouble moving beyond their iconic instruments. Gibson really hasn't done much since the Les Paul. And, Fender is still, its bread and butter is still Stratocasters and Telecasters. And Martin is still Dreadnought flat tops. And when they've tried to do other things, when everybody else was putting a dive bomb vibrato on a guitar, and having great success with it, Gibson couldn't. It just didn't work. People don't expect that out of a Gibson. Mm-hmm. when Gibson made guitars that looked sort of like Fenders, they didn't sell. And vice versa, when Fender made archtop electrics or even flat tops that looked like Martins, they didn't sell. You don't expect that. And so a company can become victimized by its own tradition. And so it's hard to know if Gibson will ever be able to escape that and move into some brave new world of instruments. But I think as a, a vital part of Americana, it would be hard to, it would be a long, long fade out if that's what's in store for Gibson. I would expect the brand to survive as a vital part of the American music scene for decades.
Thanks, Walter.
My pleasure.